really tuned in. Today is one of our greatest festival days, Sri Krishna's Appearance Day. It has the title of this morning lecture tells us this is a day which where we which has an inner dimension as well. The inner dimension is that Krishna, who is the Lord, can appear in our heart and make his appearance there. Srila Prabhupada writes about this inner dimension in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he says that on the in our heart there is a throne. Throne is usually a sitting place where you ask the king to sit. He is ruling from there. So on the throne of our heart, at the moment, there is our ego is ruling, our I, me, and mine. So he has to vacate the throne of the heart. He's called an what is the English word, Buddha Bhavan? Usurper. He has usurped this. Yes, grabbed this position. So somehow we want that Krishna again takes his rightful place. And when this appearance of Krishna is there in the heart, Prabhupada writes, the devotee should make a festival by chanting and distributing prasadam. It's I think when a devotee feels, oh, now I'm Krishna conscious, then he should chant and make a big feast. It's a big event of celebration. So this is a desire of all devotees that one day Krishna will appear in the heart, and it's hopefully it will happen this during this festival day. Hopefully it happens latest at midnight when there is the actual appearance time. So let me read with you a text which explains a little bit Krishna's appearance and why he appears. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anugrahaya Bhaktanam Manushang Deham Astita Bhajate Tadrishi Krida Yashrutva Tatparo Bhave Anugrahaya Bhaktanam Manushang Deham Astita. Bhajate Tadrishi Krida. Ya Shrutva Tatparo Bhave. Anugrahaya Bhaktanam. Manushang Deham Astita. Bhajate Tadrishi Krida. Ya Shrutva Tatparo Bhave. Anugrahaya Bhaktanam. Manushang Deham Ashrita Astita. Bhajate Tadrishi Krida. Ya Shrutva Tatparo Bhave. Matsatis, please. Anugrahaya. To show mercy. Bhaktanam. To his devotees. Manusham. Human-like. Deham. A body. Astitaha. Sorry. Assuming. Bhajate. He accepts. Tadrishihi. Such. Kridaha. Pastimes. Yaha. About which. Shrutva. Hearing. Tatpara. Dedicated to him. Bhave, one becomes. The translation of this verse, it's really explaining why Krishna appears in this beautiful form of Krishna. When the Lord assumes a human-like body to show mercy to his devotees, he engages in such pastimes as will attract those who hear about them to become dedicated to him. Beautiful, no? The Lord takes on this, assumes this human-like body in order to engage in such fascinating activities that conditioned souls like us will feel, wow, wow, or in the language of the young people, this is amazing. It is truly amazing. It is overwhelming us. And then our attraction is going in the direction to him. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami explains in this connection that when Lord Krishna descends to this world in his original two-handed form out of kindness, he manifests that form in a way his devotees, conditioned in human society, can perceive and understand. Thus here it is stated, Manusham Deham Astita. He assumes a human-like body, so that we can relate to him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur glorifies the Lord's conjugal pastimes, stating that these romantic affairs have an inconceivable spiritual potency to attract the polluted heart of conditioned souls. It is an undeniable fact that any pure or simple-hearted person who hears narrations of the loving affairs of Krishna will be attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord and gradually become his devotee. So let us offer our obeisances. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesa Sunyavari Paskajare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we find the real purpose of Krishna's appearance. It is so that we, the conditioned souls, can become again attracted to him. We have a big problem in this material world. It is called jada rasa. Jada rasa means a taste for the dead things, for matter. We invest a lot of our time to somehow involve ourselves with things like money, things like cars, things like other bodies which we want to enjoy. We have a jada rasa, means a taste for material things. And because we are spiritual by nature, this taste will never totally satisfy us. All this material taste can do to us is agitate our senses, or move our senses, excite our senses, you could maybe say. But it can't go deeper. It cannot go beyond the making our senses pulsate more and becoming more activated in some ways. It can't give us the true happiness which we as eternal souls are longing for. And therefore, the attempt to enjoy materially can never find an end. You can never say, now I'm satisfied. It will be always more, and always you need more, and always you need more and more and more, because the satisfaction in the heart just simply doesn't come about. So in this way, lifetime after lifetime, the conditioned soul runs after material enjoyment, trying to find happiness in this world. Srila Prabhupada has compared this with the example of a deer who runs into the desert where it tries to drink or eat fresh grasses. It's simply not there. There will be only hot sand waiting for the poor deer, and eventually it will find its death in the desert. So Krishna appears in a form which we can relate to, at a two-handed form, out of kindness, and then does wonderful activities that if we hear about them and if we dive into them, they can attract us and turn our attention away from trying to be materially satisfied, a project which never will work, and that we can turn our heads in the direction of Krishna. In this world, we conditioned souls are attracted to romantic affairs in some ways. I have heard that in the movie industry, where the movie producers have to think, how can we produce movies which are seen by many people in the world? You have to have two things. Something romantic, and you can do, you can go to various extents, you know, some romantic affair with you know, in a sattvic way you can depict it, then it doesn't sell so good unless you have very, very good other elements in there. But mostly if you portray romantic affairs in a rajasic or tamasic way, then it sells very good. It has, it follows the taste of the people. So you need romantic affairs and you need some violence. Someone needs to take his fist and punch the other, the evil person on the nose, and so that he falls. No? This, and you can, maybe you notice, Krishna's pastimes have these two elements also. They have a very, very loving relationships with his devotees and even with the gopis. There is the conjugal pastimes are there. And also Krishna sets things right in this world by taking care that the demonic elements are removed from this world. No? And it is sometimes, I mean, if you read the Mahabharata, you will find a lot of amazing fighting stories in these 18 days of the Kurukshetra battle. And it's all over the book. Because conditioned souls feel some excitement when they are confronted with these things, and also Krishna in his pastime liberates demons famously. No, so Krishna does all this for the simple purpose to attract our attention, which is so much rooted to this yada ras, this material ras, to the spiritual rasa. No, he really goes through great efforts to make us turn our head from looking towards material things to enjoy in the spiritual direction. He is very merciful. He does this anugrahaya to show mercy, he has mercy for us. He knows as long as we remain attracted in a material way to the yada rasa, we will again and again have to suffer disappointment and frustration. And therefore he says, come, look at what I'm doing in the spiritual world. Come and join me in the spiritual world. Come, do not waste your time in trying the impossible things. That is his purpose. Now, this purpose we have discussed yesterday a little bit. Krishna has many, many, many forms, many forms. In the Brahmanda Purana, Lord Krishna speaks about these many forms. He says, I have many forms full of the six opulences, but none of them are equal to my form as a cowherd boy. This is my best form. Krishna says, this is my, I stand behind this form. This is how I really am. This is, look at me. Look at my beauty. Look at my turban. Look at my flute. Look at my devotees who are all around me. Take note of this and you will become attracted to my pastimes. Now, once there was a discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his host, Venkatabhatta. You may know that Lord Chaitanya did a long pilgrimage through South India. It was not only a pilgrimage, he was actually spreading the nectar of the holy name wherever he went and established the teachings of bhakti in various schools. You know, he discussed with various traditional lineages and convinced their leaders. He converted Prakashananda and another time a Buddhist, a leader of the Buddhistic order, and then the followers of Madhvacharya. Tattvavadis, he had a lot of influence on that tour. Now for the month of the Chaturmasya, it's 4 months towards the end of the year, he stayed in South India as a guest to Venkatabhatta, who was a staunch worshipper of Lord Narayan. So Venkatabhatta saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great respect. He was imagine you have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in your house, you know. Mahaprabhu would go and do his ecstatic Naam Kirtans, and people would talk about him as the talk of the town, because whenever he sang and danced, it was a very, very attractive spectacle. It was really, you know, he would cry at times, he would shiver, sometimes he could not contain himself, and he would roll on the ground. His biographers describe that this, he looked like a golden mountain rolling on the earth, so impactful. So, once Venkatabhatta said, I'm worshipping Narayan, and you worship Krishna. But, you know, Narayan is, he has such opulences. He's his ornaments alone, the jewels which he wears. Then he moves with an airplane, with a vimana. And he is worshipped in grand mandirs and temples. But your God, I mean, is nice and cute, but he runs around in the forest barefoot. he plays his flute personally, as if there are no instrumentalists around him who can play and entertain him. Narayan is better than Krishna. So Mahaprabhu took this in a very friendly spirit. He said, if that is true, that Narayan, the opulent lord of Vaikuntha, is the ultimate form of God, then why is it that his own wife, Lakshmi, who is the most chaste woman, is ready to give up her chastity, go to Vrindavan, and perform austerities on the banks of the Yamuna to attain Krishna's association in the Rasa dance? Why is this? If Narayan is the supreme, she should be satisfied. But we find the opposite. She who is so much chaste, I mean, there is no, you can't say that Lakshmi is like a dissatisfied modern age housewife who runs away from her husband and asks for a divorce. No, this is not happening in the spiritual world. This is Kali Yuga reality. So why is this? Wow, that was a heavy challenge to Venkatapata. His whole world must, at that moment, it was just a simple question, one-line question. His whole world must have broken down at that moment, because he knows that in the these are scholars, they know that in the Bhagavatam, it is indeed said that Lakshmi Devi is performing austerities to obtain the lotus feet of Krishna. Venkatapata had just never thought about this in this way. But now, Vrayati, she left Narayan in order to attain the shelter of Krishna. She said, I'm perplexed. I cannot give the answer. You please give the answer. You seem to know this. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it is because the Lord has many, many forms, but the most sweetest form is that of Krishna, who has appeared in Vrindavan to perform these highly attractive transcendental pastimes there. And what he was indicating, and this is now very important for our understanding, in Tattva, Narayan and Krishna are the same. Both, you know, it's God. We're talking about God. It's Bhagavan. But in Rasa, there is a vast difference. Rasa means the taste which you can experience, the bhakti rasa, the supreme, let us say, exciting, mellow, Mellow is another word for taste, which can, when you taste even a little about it, gives you immediately the higher taste that you leave the material, your material attachments as very tucha. Tucha means insignificant and small. This is a word used when the renunciation of the Goswamis is described. They gave up all these material pleasures which are looked for by the kings and the beggars. They gave them up as very insignificant. It is not not important to us. No, they said like this. So then, let us now a little bit go into what makes Krishna unique. What, in a way, distinguishes him, that's a nice English word, what distinguishes him as the supermost attractive form of the Lord. There are four qualities which you can only find in Krishna and in no other form of the Lord, which make him so super attractive. One is called Rupa Madhurya. It's a very, very delightful form. I was thinking about this very deeply. I'm preaching to a couple who tried to obtain a child for a long time, and then, by Krishna's mercy, they obtained finally a beautiful little son. And now, when you see them, they are very wealthy, but all their life is rotating about this son. And the woman, a very accomplished business lady, has a little, please tell me the English word, what is this little chariot? The stroller? Pram. In British, it's a pram. A stroller? No? It's, you know, they push this thing, and they go... And her whole attention, which was fixed on money, you know, how to make more money, is now only on, oh, my child, ooh, ooh. And there is no other talk than about the child. You can try to talk about things like, I don't know, what you know, what's the news? My child said, Haribol. And you know, how is the weather? It's a little bit cold for my child. And you know, your contacts to the friends. Yeah, they said the sun is very beautiful. Sun means not the sun, but sun. Seeing the sun. Everything turns around this child. I'm always totally. What can I say? I'm just totally amazed. Now Krishna, in his transcendental body, he has always the sweetnesses of three ages: the childhood, you know, when the little baby is so small, it's so sweet, and the eyes and the how it moves and so on. That is in Krishna, always, even when he is in the Kaishora age, where he is together with the gopis as a young youth. Then there is the mischievousness of a little grown-up child, and then there is the beauty of a teenager who blossoms into full youth. That is all simultaneously in his form. You have never seen such a form. It is absolutely attractive. I heard, if you allow me a comment, I should not really compare Krishna in a material way. Do you allow me to give you an analogy which you can understand?
Yes.
Who of you looks secretly at movies? There is one actor whose movie production was really, everyone knew about it. He is Johnny Superdeep. Johnny Superdeep. Or is he Johnny Depp? Oh, sorry. And he, in one movie, I have secretly seen, one devotee has shown me, not the whole thing, but just a small thing. He moves, he's a grown-up man, but he moves like a child somehow, and everyone goes like, boo! And I remember, I was once going from Delhi to Istanbul in a flight, and then someone came in who was exactly dressed like this actor you have to help me, it's like a pirate, I think, pirate or so, no? How, Nityananda knows everything. How?
It's like Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's pirates of some ocean, you know. So he was, you know, he has the same dress, had the same, and around the eyes was some kajal, and he had a white shirt and some extraordinary trousers up till here, and he was moving, and the whole airplane, I was in it, went like, and everyone wanted, the stewards forgot everything about them. Can we make a photo? The Indians were all there, and it was a problem because the whole airplane was, have you seen? This actor is on the board. It was someone, I don't know if it was the real person or a look-alike, but I only recognized when the devotee showed me, this is now a favorite movie, please see, because you have to speak in the German parliament, so you need to know important subjects. Need to be a little in tune with what is going on. So I just noticed this when he came on the airplane dressed like this pirate. It was really something. So Krishna, my dear devotees, when you see Krishna, his rupa, his form, and how what he wears, you know, yellow dhoti and an orange blouse and how he has kajal, and then there is a peacock feather. Who wears a peacock feather like this? And it's a top knot, and how he just looks so absolutely attractive. Once the god of love came to him, Cupid, and he asked Krishna for combat. And Krishna, you know, he wanted to compete with Krishna. And Krishna said, come to my rasa dance. And then the Cupid, who can control the whole world, even sometimes yogis fall down because he's there. Cupid came. Krishna was surrounded with the gopis, and he wanted to use his magic so that Krishna would be attracted in a physical way to the gopis. He shot his arrows. Shoop, shoop, shoop. But as he took aim at Krishna, he noticed Krishna had expanded in many forms. That was bewildering. Which form to shoot first, and many more forms would come. And then, as he looked at the forms of Krishna, he became so much attracted that all his attractive force, which, you know, the God of love has, left him, and he felt like, and he swooned. Yes, he fell. This is Krishna's Rupa Madhurya. It's very, very sweet, but it is not sweet in a passionate way or in a rajasic way, not even a sattvic way. It's absolutely transcendentally sweet, and it is absolutely overwhelming, so that great, great kings have given up their kingdoms in order to find that Krishna. No? Yes. There is a second attribute, which is there in Krishna, and Krishna alone. He plays his Venu Madhurya, his very, very sweet flute playing. Now, you might say, there are many good flute players. We have even some flute players in our movement who can take bamboo flutes, and they can play all kinds of beautiful ragas. But Krishna's flute play is in a total different category. It's not music like we know it on this planet. Lord Shiva once heard Krishna's flute play, and he said, is it a mantra what I'm hearing? Or is it the most amazing drink which is meant to be drunk through the ears? Have you ever drunken through the ears? No, it's an extraordinary category of drinking, no? So he's really not knowing what is this. When Ananta Shesha, who upholds the cosmic order by carrying the universes on his head, hears this, his head begins to shake. And the planets begin to shake. So that's when typhoons and all kinds of things are happening. Maybe Ananta Shesha is just now hearing the flute song. Rupa Goswami says, whatever sweetness you can find in all the sounds of the universe, it disappears in the smallest hint of a vibration from Krishna's flute. What is an attractive sound which you feel attractive? What is about the sound of a nice river? It's a very soothing sound. Is that attractive? No. What is an attractive sound, Nimai? What do you find attractive?
Birds?
Not hip-hop? Maharaj, we are in the temple here. Let's say hip-hop. I'm joking. Nimai is the same family. We can joke. We are same family. No. What's about classical music? Attractive? Not for every. Heavy metal? Every conditioned soul is responding to certain sounds, Maybe the sound of his, someone who is a father, the sound of the little baby speaking was so attractive. Oh, speaking, starting to speak language, wow. And so on. No? Whatever sweetness can be found for anyone in this world, that is just, it drowns in a little drop of the sweetness of Krishna's flute. There, it's not a wonder that when Krishna plays his flute in a place called Vamsi Vat, Vat means tree and Vamsi means that the flute, so it's a flute tree, it's a specific tree in Vrindavan where he stands, all the gopis feel so attracted to Krishna that they leave whatever they do. Some go are just about to bring the food to their husbands. They leave the food halfway and whoop, run to where Krishna plays his flute. Others are with their children. They run to where Krishna's flute is because they cannot control it. And this flute play of Krishna has, that's why you can see it's in a different category. It has, beyond the sounds of the melody, it has a calling. It calls the names of the gopis. I heard a lecture by Giriraj Maharaj, who wanted to relate to his audience, and he asked them a question. Have you been in Loi Bazaar? Some of you have been in Loi Bazaar. I notice in the temples, when there's a lecture, and I'm speaking about what you do 95% of your time, no one wants to speak about it. Of course, everyone. You find the whole ISKCON at Loi Bazaar. shopping. Where else to shop for a good dhoti? You know, it's normal. Prabhupada once said, you will not find Krishna loitering in Loi Bazaar. So there is a phenomena when you are going on Loi Bazaar. I have now people who buy for me dhotis. I don't have to go to this place any longer where this is wild shopping activities going on. But when I was there, there was always, you know, someone, some Mahesh or Dinesh or someone who would call, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna, come see Prabhupada. And, you know, see Prabhupada, of course, you know, that's very nice, you know. And then you enter his shop and he has a picture of Prabhupada in some corner, you know. Prabhuji, very cheap dhoti is available. So they may say, Hare Krishna, chant, see Prabhupada, that may be the sound of what they say. But inside is a message, come to my shop and buy good dhoti, good sari, good everything. Everything is available. So, taking this principle, I don't want to say Krishna is like one of these shop owners, not at all. But Krishna plays with his flute, and the flute says one thing, the music is one thing, but inside is the hidden message. Come, whoever you are, pilgrim, worshipper or sinner, just come to me. No? Krishna is saying like this with his flute playing. Come, you are welcome. I am here with you or for you. I am here and there's Asha. Asha means sweet hope when you come to me. This is what yesterday a child said when I asked the child, what do you like in Krishna? He says, the child said, Krishna, always when I think of Krishna, I become happy, and I become just happy inside, no? So Krishna in his flute is calling like this. When he comes from the meadows, from a cow herding home, this is described in the 10th canto, at that time he plays his flute, and it is so sweet, as the Bengalis would say, it's so sweet, that the devatas come, Lord Brahma comes, Lord Shiva comes, to listen to Krishna's joyful flute playing. And they can't figure it out. The ragas go so it is absolutely mesmerizing. It puts them in a trance and so on. This is Krishna's flute play. Of course, in the Bhagavatam we hear that even the animals react to it. The birds and the cows are attracted. The birds are perching on the twigs and on the branches, and they sit there in deep meditation. They don't want to make their sweet sound any longer. They just are absorbed like munis and rishis. Like this. This is Krishna's flute playing. It is sad for those who like to see the power of Krishna that from Krishna's flute the vibrations emanate, starting with pranavadi, a primeval sound, om, that are the basis of this whole creation. No? Therefore, in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it says that this world is created by sound. This is Krishna's flute. Very, very extraordinary. Different category of flute. Then I will go a little bit faster. Krishna has very sweet pastimes. I think we will hear this afternoon more from Madhavananda Prabhu, who will talk, who will answer the question of why Krishna does cow herding pastimes. Very sweet pastimes. I'm sure he will share with us, like he always does, these very attractive pastimes. And I recommend you to really become acquainted with Krishna's pastimes. Do you know that Srila Prabhupada, when he wanted to translate the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, but in the process of it, he saw he was becoming older and he was fearing he would not come to the main subject of the Bhagavatam, Krishna's pastime. And therefore, he made quite in the beginning, he was already fearing, maybe I will not live long enough to give the word Krishna's pastime. So then he wrote the Krishna book, which is a summary study summary of all of Krishna's pastimes as they are narrated in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. Prema Madhurya. He is surrounded by very, very loving devotees. I want to here narrate one little pastime. That Krishna was once coming as a child to his mother and said, Mother, my friends say I'm not your son. And then he was starting to cry. So Yashoda took him on his lap and said, Of course you are my son. What else? I must say, when Krishna had played with his friends, the friend teased him and said, "You're not the son of another of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. You are so black." They joke like this, Sakas. So Krishna was so disturbed by this that he ran away from his friends who were playing with him, and he went into the hollow of a tree where he was hiding and fasting for one day. Meanwhile, in the village of Braj, Yashoda became like a cow whose calf was missing. She was running around. She was asking everyone, "Have you seen Krishna?" And finally, out of desperation, she sent some maidservants out to look for Krishna. And the maidservants, somehow, one of them came to a tree, and from the inside of the tree, she heard and she looked, and it was Gopal crying. And she said, "Gopal, what is happening? Your mother looks for you." "I have no mother." "Gopal, is everything all right?" "My friend said, I'm so black. How can I come from? I'm different. I'm so different." And it took a lot of work to get Gopal, to get him out of the tree and bring him to Yashoda. And then Yashoda sat with him both of them started to cry, and Mother Yashoda started to find many arguments why, yes, Krishna is black and it's all right. He was born at midnight, very black. And then Mother Yashoda said, "The first milk I gave you, which was not my own, was from a black cow." "Oh, yes, yes." There are many, many. So it's so much love, you know, so much love is going on between the Lord and his loving devotees. You won't find this in any other incarnation of the Lord. So yeah, there was once an argument in Calcutta. Giriraj Maharaj, I heard this in this one lecture. He said, one of Prabhupada's disciples was Achyutananda Swami at that time, and he had met one Mr. Singh Roy. Mr. Singh Roy had a theory. He said, it's not that... How was it? It's a little complicated. That Gauranga Mahaprabhu came from Radha and Krishna, but it's different. Gauranga Mahaprabhu is first, and Radha and Krishna come second. Just like the Rasagula is there, that's the topmost sweet, and Rasagula in Bengali, you know. And it is made from milk and sugar. So what is better, milk or sugar, or the Rasgulla? So Gauranga Mahaprabhu is first. So Achyutananda Swami didn't know what to say. He came to Prabhupada and says, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is first. And then... Thank you. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, then Prabhupada said, no, by his own example, milk and sugar come first, and then the Rasgulla is made from milk and sugar. But he still asked, who is greater, Gauranga Mahaprabhu or Radha and Krishna? Prabhupada looked down, and then he said, he looked at a picture which was in the room. There was Radharani was sitting, and I have this picture here with me. And Krishna was kneeling down. Can you see here? He has placed his flute at Radha's feet. It's an illustration to a very famous a verse by Jayadev Goswami, where Krishna is begging Radharani to forgive him, and by placing his lotus feet at her lotus feet, by placing his flute at her lotus feet. So Krishna, Prabhupada looked at a similar painting. It was not this. This came later. And he said, no, Krishna is not. Radharani is best. Because Krishna is putting his flute as a tribute to Radharani's lotus feet. Then he looked in the room and there were other pictures. There was a picture where little Krishna, you might have seen, is carrying big slippers on his head because Nanda Maharaj had said, bring my slippers. And so Krishna is faithfully carrying the slippers. And then Prabhupada pointed at this picture. No, Nanda Maharaj is best. And then he looked and he said, all devotees are best. Krishna is always surrounded by loving devotees. And therefore the devotees are dearest to Krishna. They are best. Like this. And when I heard this, I thought, see, this is another symptom of Krishna. He likes his devotees so much. He's surrounded by loving devotees. And I personally get great hope when I hear this. So I read this, and then I'm always reading when I prepare things. I'm reading, where can I find different things to convince you to become lovers of Krishna? And then I've read in the Madhya Lila, chapter 15, something which I find as so beautiful for Jamashtami. It says, Krishna says satya kore yemage britya britya vansha purti vino nahi anya kritya. Understood? I also cannot understand. Whatever a servant of Krishna wants from his master, Lord Krishna doubtlessly grants because he has no other duty than to fulfill the desire of his brityas. Britya means servant. No, this is what Krishna does. He is surrounded by loving devotees, and when he sees even in this world a person sincerely serving him, he is ready to give so much mercy and fulfill the desires. So I have talked now many things about Krishna, but I have not answered the question, when does Krishna appear in our hearts? Are you interested in this question? Yes, why? It would be, it's a nice project, no? See, See, this brings us to a secret of Krishna consciousness. The devotee, in a way, his first concern is he does not want Krishna. That's not his first concern. He wants bhakti for Krishna. Because Krishna only comes into the heart of someone who has devotion, love and devotion, and performs devotional service. That's a very great secret in Krishna consciousness, which Prabhupada has stressed many, many, many times. You must make your heart a place where Krishna wants to come, and that is when you bring bhakti or devotion into your heart. I read in the Narada Bhakti Sutra, where Narada Muni explains in very brief sentences what is the secret of bhakti. And he says, in their hymns, the great acharyas have described how bhakti can be attained. They have given a process. One is give up the objects of sense gratification and material association. That's the negative path. No, don't run too much after material things, because that will totally cover you, and you, your heart will not be a heart of bhakti. Then they have said you must worship the Lord without interruption. That's a positive path. But then on the third, this is where Mahaprabhu comes into play, and Prabhupada's mission is, by hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord's qualities, even while you are engaged in ordinary activities of the world, Krishna comes in the heart. I find this extremely powerful. One can practice it in this age of Kali. We all are poor souls. We are not able to have a sadhana for 20 hours, or like Haridas Thakur, 22 hours. We are not able to ceaselessly means without interruption, to worship Krishna. But hearing about Krishna, chanting about him, even while you are engaged in the ordinary activities of the world, like earning money, eating, quarreling, you know, which, or disagreeing, I mean, that's an ordinary activity of the world. You know, the normal stuff which we do most of the time when we are not in the temple, no? You should hear about Krishna and chant daily, and then something will happen. I heard once from a devotee a very interesting example of how this, a life where you bring as much Shravanam and Kirtanam about Krishna, brings you to Krishna. He gave the example of what you see in Bengal. You see everywhere in Bengal, people sit by the river, they have their fishing rod there, and they have thrown the strong smelling fish food in the rivers, you know, and in the pukuas. And then there are two types of fishes. One fish is coming and smelling, and may even, it's called nibble at the food, but then it goes. This is like a devotee who sometimes comes to the temple, let me check it out. And hear some Krishna Katha, yes, but not too long, please, because I have a lot on my mobile telephone to do today. You know, this is a devotee who nibbles a little at Krishna consciousness. And then he goes. But then there are other fishes. They see the food and they go like, they swallow it. And then they notice, oops, I'm caught. Now, they try to escape. And what does a fisherman do? It loosens the line, gives a long line. This is also what Krishna does. When you hear a good lecture, something good about Krishna, first class Nimai Kirtan, you hear, you think, oh, this was something, I liked it, really. But then you again try to escape, and run, and here and there and everywhere, and you do this and that, which you never tell in the temple, so on. And Krishna allows this. He loses the line until we become exhausted. That's why Narada Muni says, hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord's qualities, even while engaged in ordinary activities of the world. The point is not the ordinary activities of the world, but that is going on for most of conditioned souls. But if one hears and chants more and more, Vishya, Vishya, they say in not in Sanskrit, in Serbia. Then you will more and more will be brought to Krishna until finally the Krishna takes you into his boat and then you are with him. Hare Krishna. You are lying next to the lotus feet of Krishna. I admit the fish example is a little... You know, who wants swimming cucumbers, they call them in Bengal. You know, they try to be vegetarians, but they can't give up fish, so they call it swimming cucumbers. But the idea is very good. Krishna gives us a taste by Shravanam and Kirtanam. And as we get the taste and still continue our ordinary worldly activities, at some time we will get exhausted. We will understand, this is not for me. This yada rasa, this taste of this material world is absolutely not only uninteresting, it is disturbing me very much in my true spiritual path. And in this way, the devotee goes to Krishna. This process has been praised in the Bhagavatam as well. There are two verses which I would like to read to you. It's persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. This is from the second canto, 8th chapter, verse 4. 2:8:4. If you hear regularly, while you go through your life, the Bhagavatam, and you take this seriously, you will get some feeling of bhakti in your heart. Bhakti yoga chamanasa. Now your mind will think of devotion for Krishna. Oh, Krishna is so wonderful. I heard about him. I read about him this morning in the Bhagavatam. Wow. And this bhakti which you have for Krishna will attract Krishna so that he manifests himself in the heart. There's also a second verse, but I notice if I tell too many verses, you will become a little bit overdosed with verses. It's but those who like to read 2:8 what was this? 4 and 5. Read 5 also. It is belonging to this subject matter. No, it talks about how Krishna enters into the through the ears and sits in the heart. No, but the idea is there. Primarily, however, Narada Muni says, he has given 3 processes. Do you remember them? First process? Give up the objects of sense gratification and materialistic association. Then the second. Worship Krishna without interruption. Thank you. You've said very nicely. And the third was by hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord's qualities, even while you are engaged in ordinary activities. No? These are 3 processes how bhakti comes. But he says there is another, even more powerful process, which is even more instrumental for bringing bhakti. Would you like to hear about that? He says, primarily means in the first place, however, one develops bhakti by the mercy of great souls or by a small drop of the Lord's mercy. The main cause of bhakti is the bhakta, the devotee, and also the mercy of the Lord. They work together. An example has been given, a traditional example of the lotus flower. The lotus flower is like the living entity. Now, for the lotus flower to grow, there needs to be 2 things. Who knows? Sun and water. Bhavesh is a gardener. Sun and water needs to be there. So for us, we also need the Krishna sun, and the water is like the spiritual master or a great bhakta, a great devotee. That who nourishes us. Both is important. Imagine you have a lotus flower where there's only the sun. It will dry out. Or think of a lotus flower where there's only water but no sun. No sun. 4 months, no sun. The lotus flower will not even blossom. And after some time, I don't know, after some time it might rot even. So both are important, the bhakta and the mercy of Krishna. But Krishna's mercy, a drop, small drop. He's Krishna, his mercy is very, even when it's a small drop, it's very big. And the bhakta, yes, that he is closer. That's why the example of the water is given. The water is more close to the lotus flower than the sun. So a devotee is closer to the jiva, to the conditioned soul. Well, closer. Krishna's also in the heart, you know, very close. But we may not yet see him or interact with him. So in this way we say more accessible, and in this way closer. So yes, this is very important thing. So on this Jamashtami, let us ask the question, how will Krishna appear in our heart? Nitya Gopal. How will he appear in our heart? By bhakti. We must attract him. We must put some good bhakti in our heart. First class bhakti should be there. Then Krishna is very much attracted to come. Oh, he wants to come. He is like Madhusudan is a name, like a bee who wants to drink honey. in the flowers. So the bhaktas have flower-like hearts with the honey of bhakti. And then Krishna comes, and he is attracted. Without bhakti, Krishna is not attracted. Therefore, the Matara Shruti is saying, bhakti brings Krishna. Bhakti controls Krishna. Bhakti is even greater than Krishna. Matara Shruti is there. It is quoted in, by Jiva Goswami in his Priti Sandava Anuchedya 1. This I can even remember. Yes, so this bhakti is really, really important. Huh? And it develops if you hear and chant really and pray for the mercy of the bhakta, of the devotee, and of Krishna. I like very much that Jamashtami, Krishna's appearance day, and Vyasa Puja, Prabhupada's appearance day. Have you noted? It's just one after the other. It's a combined package. When you come here, combined package. No, it's together. You know, Prabhupada could have appeared on any day, but why did Krishna arrange it so close? You know, I think he has a point here. The Lord. Yes. Good. I have reached the end of my discussions. Well, I can go on and on and on and on, you know, but I will stop here and see. We still have a little time for the darshan to happen. Do you have any questions which you would like to ask? One moment. I saw somebody. Yes, Tushta. Krishna, yes. It was pointed out, I will say it again, that one can get the most important, let us say, effective process to obtain the mercy of, to obtain bhakti is by the mercy of the spiritual master. And the question was, could you say about how one can obtain the mercy of the spiritual master? It is done by service which is rendered with affection. When service is done out of duty, it is a dutiful process. But when it is done with affection, with vishramba, a feeling of you know, I want to do this to please my spiritual master, not out of duty, that melts immediately the heart of the spiritual master. I saw this with Srila Prabhupada there was once a devotee, I don't want to give his name, who was very, very, very effective fund collector, and Prabhupada really needed financial support to build these temples where the public could come and see the worship of Krishna. And this devotee once came and gave Srila Prabhupada, I think, a check of $50,000, which at that time was really a lot. And in our movement, we are not rich, as you all know. Well, in India now, many, we have a huge congregation, and there are also rich people, and therefore we can build big, big temples. But at that time we were not very, we had no financial thing. And this devotee gave this, and the way he put the envelope on the table was just like, I did it again. Here, have it. And Prabhupada just turned away and went out of the room. That's what I heard. He did not accept this. He wanted a service which is done with affection. I think Krishna also, you know, how do you feel? Just on a level, if someone, as you are here, in the, we have to feed you, we have to do it because you are our, you feel, keep it, I have enough, I can have my fruits, you know, keep it. But how do you feel if someone says, it's for you, I prepared this, you feel very inclined, the heart melts. So of course, love and affection are not so easy in Kali Yuga. We cannot, I mean, but we can try to understand, to offer our gifts out of the desire to give pleasure, no? And then it's very, very nice. I saw another hand here. Yes, I cannot see so clearly. These are reading glasses. Yeah. I'm getting so many notes here. The darshan, you know, it's really, this is now the subject, yes. It's just now coming. It's still coming. Yes, please. I can repeat. Yes, I can repeat them. First of all, he has a beautiful form, a beautiful extraordinary form. That's Rupa Madhurya. Madhurya means sweetness, and Rupa means form. Then he has a Venu Madhurya. This means the flute playing. Then he has Lila Madhurya, very sweet pastimes. And then the fourth is Prema Madhurya. No, it's very sweet love, which is exchanged, of course, with devotees. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you for repeating. You can read about these qualities more in the Nectar of Devotion. It will give pleasure to your heart to read this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're looking at me. Any other questions out there? I'm trying to see. Yes, I can't see who it is. Is it maybe? I will know when you speak. I have not acoustically.
That he was the first who was kind of like suffering racial bias.
Aha.
it just blows my mind. And how he dealt with it. How that is such a suffering, and he had to deal with it.
Yeah, I think I have not explained very nicely. He was not suffering because he is so black. He was suffering because he thought, father is not black like me, and therefore I'm not the son of my father and my mother. And he could not, you know, it's almost like you find out, I can't be the son or the daughter of my most beloved parents, and then you feel abolished, you feel alone in this world, and so on. But it had nothing to do with it was, and it's Leela. One thing when we listen to the Leela of Krishna, I'm giving some tip, because I started to listen to the Leela of Krishna, yeah, when I was young and foolish, 15 years old, I first heard about this. And it did not in the beginning. See, I compared it with things of this world, but you can't get anywhere because he's beyond this world. And when something sounds similar, you can be 100% sure that it's different. There is a book by Vishwanath Chakravarti. It's called Vraj Vritti Chintamani. And there is a passage. Now, I might if anyone knows exactly, it's like when the Brijbasis say he fainted, they mean that he was overcome with loving emotions. You know, it's different than the fainting of this world, in other words. And then it's this is not the most. I will look it up when I come home. But there is like a whole new dictionary, like to understand Krishna. It's almost like learning a new language, with different meanings. Therefore, the acharyas are extremely careful to speak about the loving dealings between the gopis and Krishna. Although this is Krishna's most favorite leela, Krishna says, although all my countless pastimes equally enchant me, like everything equally is, I like, I don't know what happens to my mind when I remember my rasa leela. It's just so beyond everything. So although this is a supreme leela, where Krishna calls the gopis for a dance of love in the forest of Vrindavan, the acharyas generally do not talk about it in public, because there is this great danger that we think that this is exactly like the things which are interesting me, you know, the romantic affairs of this world. But it's in a total different category, and one needs to learn this new language of Krishna Leela by carefully entering Krishna Leela. See, this is the supreme medicine. In the Prabhupada writes about this in the third canto. Hearing Krishna Katha is the only medicine in Kali Yuga to attract the conditioned soul to Krishna. I was thinking, well, isn't it the holy name, Yuga Dharma and all of that? Yes, that's also the only medicine. You know, it ranges very, very high. And I would like to tell a little bit. Burijan Prabhu is a very wise person. I all encourage you to meet him. Burijan Prabhu convinced me. He had to turn my arms a few times around until I couldn't say no, to start with what we called the Govardhan retreats. In the beginning, we rented a small ashram, not more than 24 people could be in that ashram. Small, small, small. And we went, can you imagine, at Govardhan, to Govardhan, we went under the fence, and we went to the trees, and we started to talk about Krishna from Bhagavatam. And we did this year after year, and oh, sometimes it was so cold, and all our participants had diarrhea because the food had an element of the Indian factor in it. But we persisted, and now we have a very nice situation with devotees from all over attending it. And do you know what we understood was the purpose of this? The purpose is to talk about Krishna, the Krishna Katha, in the land of Krishna, where everything reminds us of Krishna. Why? For this one reason, that our misplaced taste, it's called worldly taste, is taken and so on. And what we learn as we do this, you know, it is it was something new in our movement, not new to the tradition. The tradition has carried on over the hundreds of years by talking, by doing just that, katha, talking about Krishna personally. So by trying to do this, by learning from our mistakes a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, we came to the understanding that this really can nourish devotees for a long time to go. So I want to invite you. We have even built a retreat center, so that there is an excellent kitchen where we have control over the cleanliness standard and nice rooms with attached bathrooms. Woo! And everything is available there, so that you can come and hear about Krishna and become attracted to Krishna, and then everything is so easy. But you will have to learn a new language. Yes, the discussions are done in English, but you have to just get deeper and deeper and deeper and understand things on a deeper level, and then it means a lot for yes. But thank you for your very nicely put question. Very, you know how to speak in a very exciting way. Thank you very much. Yes, Vipula is here.
Very long time this material was.
Very long, yes. Oh. That's the power of the healer when it comes on the microphone. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very long time this material was. And we experienced all kind of pain and loss and betrayal, you know, and then when we supposed to surrender our hearts to Krishna, open our heart to Krishna, then naturally there is some mistrust, or there is some,
yeah,
you know, like, what will happen, can I do this, you know?
Yeah.
How could we come over this fear of, you know?
So nice, you have all heard the question, very good question. We are still hesitating to really surrender, to open, to give ourselves entirely to Krishna, because yes, there are so many blocks to it. We even know that we try, but often we come to a similar block to which we have come in our past life. I have seen in Bilvamangala Thakur's life, you know, in his previous life, before he became the famous Bilvamangala Thakur, he had been he had been involved with a lady in not in a you know yet yes in a, with a lady, and then he was reborn, and then again this attraction came, and he could not surrender to Krishna. So then he had to really give special effort to break through this barrier. So what you have said, I have seen in all of our lives, including my life. In the beginning it goes amazingly fast because you are just catching on to where you left, but then you come to a situation which seems to be almost impossible to cross. Do you know what I'm speaking about? It is like when I look back at my first life, you can't believe what I did. I lived for a whole year only on baked food. I thought I'm an arrogant person, which is a fact. So I went and collected from the houses of Germans my food, and there is not much you can eat. Now, vegan and vegetarian, you find many, but in the old times, what is vegan? What vegan was not a discussion. Vegetarian, Wurst, is this good? No, and I said, no, let me look. Some cucumbers. Ooh, I hate cucumbers in the winter. Tomatoes. Then butter. I know if you eat a whole package of buck butter, when you're young, you can do it. You are at least hot, you know, in the winter. And one whole year. Ooh. So much book distribution. Whoa, so much translation. Ooh, getting up 2 o'clock, no problem, in the morning. Chanting all the rounds before Mangal Aarti. Of course, I'm not in Maya, Prabhu. I have finished my rounds before Mangal Aarti, you know. And all this, I wonder, like a trailing blaze. And then all of it, you become older. And you know, bang, there it is again. Your old obstacle. And now, how to do the real surrender, you know, that is Vipulaji, I don't believe any longer in my own strengths. I tried so much, so many years, so I believe in the strengths of Krishna's mercy. But what I know is, in order to get it, I have to be there when the mercy comes. You know, when there's rain outside, if I put my cup like this, nothing will come in. I have to put it like this. Then it can be filled with rainwater. So in the same way, there are situations, there, for instance, kirtans, or every morning in japa, or every day when I read the Bhagavatam. I can read it like this, let me just do it, let me just finish it, or I can read it like this, with an open heart, willing to learn, and then I've noticed things come in me, and the spiritual, the kripa shakti, which is so much there, the mercy energy, in the Shravanam and Kirtanam, it works on the heart, and it helps me to overcome the obstacles, even the big ones. So I always say nowadays to devotees, we are very weak. We are very weak. We are in Kali Yuga. Yes, yes, yes. I know you don't believe me. I know. You believe in your own strengths. Wait until you're 65. You will see what is the extent of your power. But what is very powerful is the strength of bhakti. bhakti, which is generated by these powerful devotional processes. And therefore, I have a god brother who says, Vaisheshika, when you feel your energy gets low and your willingness to surrender, your willingness to trust in Krishna gets low, he says, just sit down, read the whole day Bhagavatam, chant the whole day Hare Krishna, and after a few days you will see it changes. I have always seen this working in my case. But I see so many devotees are going like this. Oops, I don't want to put this on the holy books. You know, going like this through their lives. Closed. Open yourself to the practices, to where you can obtain bhakti, and you will see that the bhakti transforms you. Krishna asked the question, if your heart does not feel ecstatic bliss, if your hairs don't stand on end, how will you ever overcome the contaminations of the heart? He speaks of being touched by bhakti, being overwhelmed, and then it is possible. I know Vipula Prabhudas and Syama Sundari, they have somehow, this couple helps so many devotees overcome, at first of all, sea blockages and then overcome them. I want to encourage you to help devotees to first of all develop a general trust in Krishna, that advancement is possible, that Krishna is there. And one can tell them many stories from the scriptures where Krishna has helped his devotees, like Ajamil. Oh, Ajamil. He chanted Narayan, Narayan, meaning his son, and Krishna gave him so much mercy that he could have a second chance in his life. And this is from the Bhagavatam, but there are many very nice stories which you may even know from contemporary devotees. And then you must tell them, were these devotees able to overcome their obstacles? They believed in Krishna, they had faith in Krishna. And how did this belief and faith become so strong? It became strong because they heard about Krishna, and they were purified in their hearts by the chanting of the holy name. That's why they can do all the things which they do. What I say now, what I say to myself is, I want to know the close Krishna, not the distant Krishna. The Krishna who interacts, who's there for me as a devotee. I like to experience in my life that I pray to Krishna and feel that he answers me by arranging the life. I like to go to the holy place where Krishna is still present, where he walks through the holy Dharma of Vrindavan. I want the close Krishna. Therefore, I have become very dedicated in my life to chant the holy name as much as I can with this tongue and with this in this life. No. I do a lot of other services, but I always try to sing the holy name because it's so important to have a conviction, yes, that Krishna is there. And that's the promise of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's our movement, you know. That is there. And I always give one tip to the devotees, another tip. Be aware of darkness. What I mean with this is there is a lot of negativity in the world. Things which are disturbing. Like yesterday I heard an information which, you know, is a person who is even biologically very close. He's in my family and something terrible happened to him. And I was going like, oops. And then I went out of that. I had to do something. And all the time this was going on. Oh, no. And oh, how to... And I noticed how I was becoming very sad and by what I had heard. And be aware of darkness. There's a lot of negative energy around. It's only a mouse click away from you, I would say. Mouse click means computer science. Be careful, it's all over. I mean, I don't want to... Just make it a point, negative informations, that's not what you're interested in. Criticizing negativity, that's for those who don't know how to go up, but who only know how to go down in their life. Put Krishna there. This is what I'm saying. Hare Krishna. That's as good as I can do at the moment, but I will think more. So, now my dear devotees, I want to close this session. I think if we hear more, it's a little bit too long. We have to sing a little bit. What I hear is, we will just sing one short kirtan, then we will make a short pause. Or you want to say, no?
If we do the pause, we lose half of our audience, and then when the Lord appears, half of our audience is out of the temple room.
Okay.
So we should try to keep everyone in the temple room.
Krishna. Good. Then we do like this. We do a short kirtan, which belongs to the lecture. It's not bidding time. Part of the lecture. Don't run. Then is Gaurahari's special announcements. I think one day the world will... We will make a CD of Gaurahari's announcements. Very poetic.